result of 1:30 race.
Result of 1:30? Oh, in church, stop press. Result of 1:30.
Time to town.
Evening news. Evening news. Thanks, mate. Rising latest. Rising latest.
Yes, give us a copy, lad.
Oh, evening, Mr. Evans.
Now.
I tipped the winner, then.
Winner? I tipped 1,000 winners.
Educated Evans by Edgar Wallace. Narrated by Freddie Jones. Starring Roy Hudd as Evans, Andrew Sachs as Inspector Pine, Michael Roberts as the Miller, and Pat Coombs as Mrs. Rankin. This week's episode, The Snout.
It was Saturday night in Camden Town, and that hour when the lamps seemed at their brightest, the stallholders at their cheeriest, and the doors of the Dog and Kettle at their most enticing. It was also a time when those with money could savour its power to the full, while those without might feel its loss the more strongly.
Half of the usual, Mr. Tarskett, and I'll thank you to wipe the grease off that glass.
Educated Evans, sporting authority and self-styled turf advisor, was for once in the former category. The tipster's good fortune in recommending a certain Blue Chuck, his own winnings, and the number of new clients now seeking his wisdom had rendered Evans, for the moment, rich.
So, what's the word on the Tilbury handicap, Evans?
Tilbury? Yes, I've got a beauty, Mr. Tarskett. Statesman. That horse could fall on his back and still wag himself home with his tail.
Statesman. I'd heard that chimney sweeps fancied.
Only by other horses. Save your money, Mr. Tarskett. If chimney sweeps not last at Tilbury...
Evening, Evans.
Ginger Vennett.
Evans had half turned to avoid the new arrival. He was a pale young man whose thin features might have appeared nondescript had they not been capped by a welter of red hair.
How are you, Ginger?
Top button, Joe.
As ever.
Just a small scotch myself, Joe, and whatever my good friend here fancies.
I'm not in need, thank you.
As you please.
No, manny your insight, Evans. You must want a clear head.
What a gift, eh?
I've not had the nod on Tilbury yet.
No, well, you wouldn't have, Ginger. Not with the odds, those weights and such, I'm still undecided.
Undecided? First time I've known it, pal.
One scotch.
Oh, well, here's to us, and damn the rest. And don't forget, Evans, fix us up for the handicap and I'll see you right. It's worth your while, pal. Worth your while.
Cool.
Turning away business, Evans.
Maybe, Mr. Tarskett, or maybe not. I'd just rest more easy if they'd not fitted them cuffs on Cully Parks.
Cully's been nabbed.
And nabbed with his jemmy still warm.
Never.
He was fingered. Yes, someone grassed on Cully, Mr. Tarskett. There's a snout in Camden Town.
Oh, makes you shiver.
Well, it's not that I hold with law-breaking, but snouts. We don't need them.
And you think it might...
I name no names, Mr. Tarskett. As was often said to one St. Francis of the Assizes, the well-known do-gooder and bird fancier, and him that kept giving his belongings away, there's some things best kept to yourself. Know what I mean? Good night to you.
One decent win, it goes to his head.
As Evans set off towards Bayham Mews, his mind still turned on the manner of Cully Park's arrest. Such thoughts so occupied him, in fact, that he quite failed to notice the tall, darkly clad man standing directly in his path.
Mind how you go, Evans.
What's that? Oh, the law.
The man smiled and removed a straw from his mouth. Detective Sergeant Challoner was more often known as the Miller.
I suppose, Evans, given the state of your fortunes at present, the likes of common folk don't want it at a glance.
That is a slur, Mr. Miller. As it happens, I was just wondering about these common folk. Seems odd to me, somehow. Wherever it is they trip up, they fall straight into Critchley Street Nick.
You might wonder why some deserve to. A wallet goes missing, a diamond brooch. Then again, it might be an Ormolu clock.
Ormolu clock?
Yes. Monty the jeweller's had one lifted. You've not heard anything then?
Mr. Miller, firstly, I know nothing about no Ormolu clock. Second, if you think I'd turn snout, why, as Mickey O'Valley, the far-famed Italian, and him that did for the Black Prince said...
Don't let's rake up the past, Evans.
Educated Evans, a grass. I'll tell you one thing, though, Mr. Miller. There is a snout a-doing of his damnedest. And once I've got the proof, well,
I'd better let you move on. Chat too long, someone might think I'm running you in.
If that's how it stands, Mr. Miller, I'll bid you good night.
Evans hurried off at some pace. The miller, however, pausing only until the tipster had rounded the first corner, slipped quietly into the narrow entrance beside the cheesemonger's. It was a dark little alley, but halfway along its length he paused again, for the sergeant had reached the very spot of an assignation.
Evening, sir. Punctual as ever.
The newcomer wore a battered trilby squashed about his ears, while a thick grey scarf covered his lower face completely. Even the miller might have doubted his identity, had a wisp of fiery ginger hair not escaped from the trilby.
93 Little Stibbington Street.
Right, sir. I believe Inspector Pine's gratitude might run to a quid.
Any time, Sergeant. Look after the law, and the law looks after you.
Keep in touch.
Inspector Pine himself was presently concerned with a financial matter of a quite different order. The problem was delicate.
A deficit, Inspector. A deficit in the accounts of the Suppression of Gambling Society.
The bitter truth, Mrs. Rankin. I've received this statement, tarnished, alas, by the most invidious red. You may see the exact sum.
Oh, Inspector. Might I ask what has caused this shameful lapse?
In a word, Mrs. Rankin, Evans...
Educated Evans?
Yes, it was, I fear, the printing of my tract on the perils of the tipster. The mere 58 pages, Mrs. Rankin, the cheapest of calf bindings. But the cost, well...
Oh, yes, I can imagine.
However, given your own expertise in fundraising, I dare say...
I had always assumed, Inspector, that the cost of tracts was paid from their author's pocket.
But Mrs. Rankin...
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have the church fete at St. Dunstan's to consider. Good night, Inspector.
Paid from the author's pocket? No.
The alleged cause of the Inspector's deficit was nearing the stable, above which were his two rented rooms. It was, indeed, just as Evans paused by the pump in Bairn News, that the miller's talk of a stolen Ormolu clock suddenly touched him more personally.
Toby Lee! Of course, Toby! Mad for clocks, he is. Yeah, fussy little foldy-roll clocks. Great ornate clocks. Yeah, some pretty timepiece. Toby Lee bagged it. Well, Toby's a good friend, no question. And again, so's the miller. Can't break faith there. Oh, well. If I just give Toby the nod, the law's onto it. Yeah.
Retrieving a pencil end from deep in his pocket, Evans thoughtfully licked the lead and began its application to the back of a crumpled betting slip. Even as he wrote, however, the miller was already standing on Toby Lee's doorstep.
Why, Sergeant Challoner!
It was Toby's wife, Mildred, who greeted him. Her look of startled wonder appeared as genuine as when rehearsed in the hall mirror a few moments earlier.
Mrs. Lee?
A social call. What a pleasure, Sergeant. But I do fear our hospitality just can't be granted. It's my poor Mr. Lee's health. Not left his bed these 3 days, he hasn't. And the doctor says, well, he's sinking fast.
Dear, dear. The bedroom's up those stairs, as I remember. I'll just pop in and pay my respects.
But,
even know you.
Evening, Toby.
It's that my dear mother. Was it you playing that harp, mother? 'Twas a harp I heard. A heavenly harp.
Oh, well now. Perhaps you did hear heavenly chimes, Toby. What's that in bed with you? A musical warming pan?
Ow!
There now, one ormolu clock.
Well done, Miller. Fair and square.
And you fully dressed, Toby.
I never thought you'd bite. Still, I had a go, didn't I?
Well, a cup of tea before you both leave, Sergeant.
I think not, Mrs. Lee. By the by, who is your new lodger?
Oh, such a helpful young man. And Mr. Bennett, Ginger, they call him.
Out of that bed with you, Toby.
All right then, Miller.
And Mrs. Lee, who felt that she had more than honoured the loyalty of wedlock that evening, spent a little longer than usual preparing her new lodger's supper. The note from Evans, which she later found on her doormat, was quickly consigned to the bin. The next day, Evans himself, on learning of Toby's arrest, passed the very doors of the Rialto Cinema. The last house was just
Oh, why? Mr. Evans, isn't it?
Quite right, madam, but Well, it's Mrs. Lee, or I'm mistook.
Evening, Evans.
Ginger Bennett.
I expect, as you've heard, Mr. Evans, they've locked up my Toby. A bitter blow for a loving wife, it is.
I'm quite sure, Mrs. Lee. Shocking. It's all shocking.
If it weren't for Mr. Bennett here, well, such a tower of strength he's been, a regular tower.
Always happy to be of service, Mildred.
Yes.
Listen, Evans, what's the word on the Tilbury handicap? I've a bob or two to bet. Worth your while.
Tilbury? Yes. Well, Ginger, seeing as it's you, and bearing in mind how considerate you're being to Toby's wife here, I'll tell you. Chimney sweep.
Chimney sweep?
Chimney sweep. A stone certainty, Ginger. Put every last farthing you've got on it.
Evans, I will. What a pal. Mildred, we'll pick up a bit of fried skate. No point in cooking tonight.
Oh, Ginger.
Cheery bye, Evans. And thanks.
No thanks required, Ginger. None at all.
The tipster's trap had been set. He spent, however, a restless night, and even the morning's pale spring sunshine did little to raise his spirits. On such occasions, Evans had come to adopt a most singular routine. He would select a cigar stub for immediate use, place a second one in his overcoat pocket, and gently stroll to the great waterway of North London, the Regent's Canal. Hampstead Road Lock had become, for Evans, a sanctuary.
Toby gets done for theft. Fair enough. Justice gets done. The snout who grass, though, gets Toby's good woman.
I wondered if you'd be here, Evans.
Ah, Mr. Miller. Yeah. There's certain goings on and turning ups and working outs, and I just can't be doing with them.
Still in your position, Evans. Man with a bit of capital now. I've heard that you've got certain plans.
Kent.
Kent?
Yeah. I've had my eye on a little cottage down there.
Oh, yeah. Kent. Very nice.
There's a stream. Runs right past the back door.
Most convenient.
A reed warbler over the meadow.
A reed warbler, eh?
Would ease a troubled soul, Mr. Miller. I might even own a racehorse.
Own one, Evans? Forget it. Stick to what you know.
I'll tell you what I do know, Mr. Miller. I know a snout when I sees him.
Point taken, Evans. Speaking of which, I've put a fiver on chimney sweep.
Chimney sweep? Oh, you've lost your money.
What's that?
He's a broken nag, Mr. Miller. I've had it from the trainer. A four-legged fly trap. Chimney sweep's as much chance of winning at Tilbury as that there barge horse.
Listen, Evans, you've called it a stone certainty. Ginger Vennett, he swore you told him that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I might have.
What's all?
If that snout puts his last bob on a loser, who's to pity the man?
You've twisted him.
Twist Ginger? Impossible. You have to untwist him first.
Well, I'm jiggered.
Miller, it was, as you recall, the far-famed Cleopatra. She whose needle we all admire.
Cleopatra will have to wait, Evans. I've a bet to cancel.
Serves him right. Trusting a snout.
Inspector Pine, still anxious for his debt, was awaiting the miller's return at Critchley Street with some impatience.
Four, perhaps. Enter!
Sorry, I'm late, sir. It was a question of conferring with an undercover man.
Well, tell him up. Yes, sir. Worthy work, I'm quite sure.
Indeed, sir.
Now, Sergeant, I count myself a fine judge of character.
Of course, sir.
Well, let's take Evans, for instance.
Yes, sir?
A devious rogue, Sergeant. A scoundrel whose corruption of Camden Town we're obliged to stop.
Naturally, sir. Oh. There is, of course, your most admirable tract, The Perils of the Tipster.
Ah, the matter but exactly. In one grateful reader's opinion, my tract opened his eyes to the full intricacy of a police inspector's mind.
I see. And who might that grateful reader have been, sir?
Why, Mr. Vennett.
Ginger?
A worthy citizen of the highest probity.
Of course, sir.
The tracts will be offered at 5 shillings each. And, Sergeant, they will be highly recommended by all the station staff.
As you say, Inspector. As you say.
In Bear Mews, Evans, whose housekeeping relied on a complex system of give and take, was returning some milk to one neighbour whilst borrowing a screw of tea from another.
She's barely given me 3 leaves.
The door to his rooms, however, was now ajar, and a familiar figure waiting by the stove with a newspaper. His straw had been bitten in two.
Why? Mr. Miller!
3 clear lengths, Evans.
What's that?
Chimney sweep. He's won.
Never. The possibility don't exist. Hey? Chimney sweep. 3 clear lengths. 100-6. Oh!
Evans sank to his chair and stared at the paper as though some feat of will might change the figures.
100-6.
A 4-legged flytrap, you said. I'd stake to 5, Evans. You know what you've lost me.
And more to the point, Mr. Miller. What can Ginger have won? He'll have bet every loss. Oh, the winnings don't bear consideration.
True enough.
Revenge is repugnant to my nature, Mr. Miller. But if I don't settle that snout before the day...
You're right, Evans. He's got Inspector Pine thinking him a saint.
Pine? Back in that Ginger? Go. Oh, here. The thing about that Ginger, he's greedy. All I've done so far is given him the taste for it, Mr. Miller. Set him up.
You've set him up very comfortably.
Maybe, but Ginger, he'll still risk a lot. Hey, it's easy. I'll just feed him another loser.
You'd have to be sure.
Flapper, Mr. Miller. Erst Park, the 2:30 tomorrow. I've had it from the owner's valley himself. Flapper. Second to last, and that's if he's trying.
Flapper? Yeah.
Oh, I'll give Ginger the nod this evening. Mr. Miller, you can share a drop of this tea. And whatever you do, don't put a single 8-ney on Flapper.
It is, of course, a matter of record that the 2:30 at Hurst Park was won by Flapper.
Here, give us one. Here. Now, stop press. Hurst Park. Oh, wow!
Evans, you all right, Mr. Evans?
The tipster's backward stagger eventually met with a lamppost.
Ow! Oh! Oh, God! Ooh.
It is, however, an example of that perseverance vital to his profession that even before leaving the lamppost, Evans had vowed to find one more loser. Inspector Pine, meanwhile, was still in hope that Mrs. Rankin might relent in the matter of fundraising. A hope which led to his reluctant attendance at St. Dunstan's church fete.
Why, Inspector Pine, a pleasure and indeed a privilege, as always.
Oh, a pleasure most certainly, Mr. Bennett. Hardly expected.
Well, it pays to mix, Inspector. As it happens, I hoped I might see you.
But, Bennett...
The fact is, I've always appreciated my little, arrangement with Critchley Street. Look after the law, and the law looks after you. That's my belief. So, Inspector, a little donation might be in order.
A donation?
The surprised inspector had flinched, for a slip of paper had suddenly been placed in his top pocket.
And you can make it out to the, charity of your choice.
Mr. Venator.
Ginger!
Coming, Mildred. Our paths will doubtless cross, Inspector. Cheery bye now.
Goodbye. Well.
Inspector Pine slowly retrieved the cheque.
True. Oh, never. But never was a gift more timely.
And the blameless inspector, a man whose understanding of such a cheque might vary with those less innocent, carefully refolded it. In the Dog and Kettle that evening, word of Ginger's new gold watch had already reached Evans. It had also been mentioned that Mrs. Lee's lodger had not only made full payment on a Ford car, but was planning to buy the showroom that sold it to him.
One loser. That's all it will take. One solid left-at-the-post loser. Now, the Brighton Cup. I don't know what it is. Every nag on the card looks impossible. Well, here. Gunmetal. Hang on. He's the one that bit a starter last week. If he gets anywhere near the post, they'll disqualify him. Yes. Gunmetal.
That table need a wipe, Evans.
Oh, Mr. Tarskett.
Pity you weren't here earlier. Ginger Bennett looked in.
Oh, yes.
Stood everyone in the bar a drink, he did. Mm.
An ill-bred act, Mr. Tarskett. There's some who might think that a flaunting of good fortune is plain bad manners.
Not many did. I'm sure you got that man wrong, Evans.
Have I now? Gunmetal. Oh, yeah. He's a donkey with big ideas. If that nag don't settle Ginger, nothing will. Hard labour's too good for the likes of...
Watch, Evans!
Well... Oh, Ginger Bennett.
And take this, pal. It's your quid for that last tip.
Why, that's most generous of you, Ginger.
Well, if anyone deserved it, pal. Oh, by the by, you did mention the Brighton Cup.
Oh, I did indeed. Gunmetal. Pal. A stone certainty, and bet your last bootlace.
Evans, I will. You've seen me right, I don't mind admitting. I'm top button, laughing. Oh. Well, I suppose there is one dark cloud.
Dark cloud?
Oh, it's only Mildred. She reckons she can ditch Toby and... Between ourselves, she's mentioned marriage. Just imagine it. Oh, well, you can't win them all.
I most sincerely hope you can't, Ginger Pal.
It was barely mid-morning of the next day when the doors of Critchley Street police station admitted a somewhat distraught lady.
Sergeant, I've a thief to report. A thief, a fraud, and a heartless absconder.
Really, Mrs. Lee? And might I inquire as to the identity of this general reprobate?
Ginger Bennett.
Never.
The very same, Sergeant. Oh, if I'd only consider the snags. The police should warn innocent folk about lodgers.
I'd understood that you and Ginger had become somewhat close.
Oh, it's true. and I nourished a viper. Oh, Sergeant, I knew he'd grasped on my husband. I knew it. I'd never have gone with him, not if he hadn't sworn that Toby was seeing the girl from the sweet shop.
Hardly a matter for divorce, Mrs. Lee. Toby liked his toffees.
Oh, that he did. Oh, Ginger Bennett. The man's now stolen my wedding ring, moved to Conway Street, and he's taken the girl from the sweet shop.
Yes, I realise this must be somewhat upsetting to you.
Arrest the man, Sergeant. I demand that you arrest him.
Impossible, I'm afraid, Mrs. Lee. He'll have sold the ring by now. There's really nothing we can do.
Oh, I'm
on so I'll bid you good morning, that's why you.
In the calm of his own office, Inspector Pine was fully engrossed. Before him lay a stack of 50 calf-bound copies of his new tract.
Ah, yes. The Pitfalls of Bad Company by Mortimer Pine. Ah, yes.
Smiling in anticipation, the good man opened a thin volume. Ginger's cheque, which the inspector had decided to bank the next day, he used as a bookmark.
Brilliant.
At 4 o'clock on the same afternoon, the miller was seen clutching his racing edition and taking the stairs in Bear Mews two at a time. His appearance was later described by a vigilant neighbour as disgracefully jaunty.
Done it, Evans! You've finally done it! Gunmetal, 10th, and 10 ran.
Yes, Mr. Miller, I got it right that time.
Ginger skint. He'd sold everything and emptied his bank account, I bet.
Had he now?
I mentioned that to Inspector Pine. He's not left his office since. You've done for them both, Evans.
Yeah, I certainly found a loser.
The sergeant looked at his friend closely. Evans had never been one to glory in another's misfortune, but no mere decorum would account for his present gloom.
Evans?
Two winners he's had off me, too. Here's Ginger getting richer and richer. It just came to me. I mean, how can a man like that fail?
You didn't.
I did, Mr. Miller. Backed it myself.
Evans?
With every last halfpenny.
Not everything. You're a bit put by.
Well, but think of what I'd have made, Mr. Miller. Enough. Well, more than enough.
So, the cottage in Kent, the reed warbler over the meadow.
Yeah. Kent, Mr. Miller. Kent's all promenades and hot pickers, isn't it? Besides, leave Camden Town? I mean, how would folks manage? Mr. Miller, what tipster can boast as many clients with the Midland Railway Goods Yard?
Hmm. How about that easing your troubled soul, though?
The soul, Mr. Miller? Well, that's a matter best left between a man and his bookmaker. Now, Lingfield tomorrow.
It was a further hour before the miller left Bear Mews that evening. He took some care, in fact, not to leave before the tipster had proposed two certain winners for the meeting at Lingfield and calculated the total profits on a possible treble. Evans had even mentioned the reed warbler again.
You've been listening to Educated Evans by Edgar Wallace, dramatised by Richard Quick, and narrated by Freddie Jones, starring Roy Hudd, Andrew Sachs, Michael Roberts and Pat Coombs, with David Batley as Joe Taskett, Rosemary Martin as Mildred, and Ian Target as Ginger Vennett. The music was by Philip Glassborough and Rick Cardinale, and the programme was produced and directed by Dirk Maggs.